everyone. Happy Valentine's Day. We are so glad you are here. It's good to see you. Shannon is putting a little note in the chat that you are welcome to put joys in the chat. Things maybe that might not be important enough to light a candle for, but that you would like to acknowledge and like us to know about. Family.
Great appreciation for all of the volunteers at the fairgrounds Saturday.
Ooh, yes. Go ahead and type that in there.
How do we send it?
You just type it into the chat and then press return. There you go. Thanks, Del. You did it.
Enter. Return.
Yeah.
Never too old to learn.
That is right. Good morning. Welcome, everyone.
I'm Sykes.
Comfortable. We're going to take a little bit of time getting settled and welcoming people in, and we'll get started around 5 minutes after 10. Oh, I see Sharon. Welcome, Sharon.
Side by side mode now.
Good morning, everyone. I've shared with people who got here early that you're welcome to type joys into the chat.
So I can get to the.
Let us know how you're doing.
I've got
later
the volume.
On in the service, we will.
Behind there.
Ahead and do our more serious joys and sorrows with candles lit. But right now, if you have something on your heart, go ahead and type that in.
Reading information.
Good morning, Joanne and Marcia and Carol and Mariana and Bonnie.
Oh, let's hit participants. That's what we have to do.
Yes.
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Snow Day.
Invite me.
Bird and Dove.
Good morning.
Well, hi, Joanna.
I don't know if that's what we can do.
Morning, Sue. Like your ribbon. Hi, Sandy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Good, you.
Good morning, Dell.
Yes.
Good morning, Bert.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome.
Hi, Barry and Kathleen.
What's up?
Hi, Frank. I see you. All the Valentines are together.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't see what he says.
Hi, Elizabeth, and her Valentine.
Hi, Wilder,
Mariana.
Hi, Dylan. Hi there, good morning. Good morning, Carol.
Hi, Sharon. Long time no see.
And Robert.
Yeah, hi, Elaine.
I should be wearing a red shirt.
Good morning.
Hey, Donna.
Everybody's
got their red on.
Hello, Judy Hayes.
Hey, Terry.
Hi.
Terry.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hey, Marilyn and Ron. Hello, hello.
Hi, Liza.
Hi.
Hey, Marta.
Hey, Marta.
I miss your stones.
Hi, Donna. Morning, Terry.
Well, I'm on here. They just showed.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Jill.
Get ready to get started.
Just a minute. Hey, Tom.
I'm going to mute everybody now so we can start. Okay, that was so fun that I could have just said hello and waved for the whole time. But we will do our worship. During the month of February, as we honor Black History Month, for our readings, we will name by ethnicity. And as we honor Black History Month. Hang on one second. I'm going to go ahead and mute everyone. There we go. I didn't quite get that. All right. We are going to name the authors who are Black. This morning, the words come from Adrian L. H. Graham, a Black seminarian preparing for UU ministry, a member of First Unitarian Church of Baltimore. Adrian calls himself a evangelist. These words call us into worship as we prepare in just a few moments to light our chalice. We kindle a flame of power, illuminating the holy in each of our faces.
We recognize in the flame a passionate commitment to our shared faith.
We are held and carried from day to day, week to week, in the shining of the light.
This flame is mine as well as yours.
We are brought together on this day, called to growth, to expansion within its glow.
What does your heart know while beholding this holy fire.
Let us worship together. We acknowledge that the land we gather on as a congregation where we live, work, and play was not freely given to us. We gather on the ancestral land of the Nuchu or Ute, Apache, the Pueblos, Hopi, Zuni, and Diné nations. We recognize the indigenous peoples as original stewards of this land. As these words are spoken and heard, the ties that nations have to their ancestral homelands are renewed and reaffirmed. We acknowledge that our use of and benefit from this land came at a dire cost to Native nations and peoples whose land we now inhabit. I am Katie Kandarian Morris, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango. I am so grateful to be creating community with you today, people uniquely positioned to create an open place to worship and to deepen social justice in our community. We gather virtually, keeping each other safe. It is a balm being together, responding to the world's brokenness with our liberal religious values of love and justice. We gather in the spirit of covenant. Unitarians and Universalists have radical roots and a history as self-motivated spiritual people, thinking for ourselves and recognizing that life experience influences our beliefs more than anything. If you are new here, we welcome you. Our communications coordinator, Shannon Beaver, would love to greet you personally. Go ahead and type in the chat if you'd like to be added to our e-newsletter list. You are welcome to stay after the service. Join us today for our informal small group virtual fellowship time. And that is informal so that you can stay as long or as briefly as you'd like. Before we get started, I have one announcement. I want to call on our interim director of faith formation, Sarah Sauter, who just wants to inform us, give us a little bit more information of an upcoming event.
Thanks, Katie. Yes, I want to draw your attention to the Corona Docs, which will be talking to us this coming Thursday at 6:30. And Shannon will be putting a link in the line, the chat line to sign up. The Corona Docs will help us understand the vaccine, how long it will last, what the side effects might be, what kind of myths are circulating around about them, what kind of science is circulating it around. So come and ask your questions and be prepared to be informed.
Thanks, Sarah. Leading our service with me today is our worship team, Cheryl Guy, who is our worship associate. Sarah Sauter, our interim director of faith formation, is our storyteller. Shannon Beaver is our greeter. And James Mirabal leads our tech support with assistance from Dennis McClure. Our musicians today are Marilyn Garst and Elizabeth Crawford will lead our hymn today. We define worship as shaping things of worth. By so doing, we create community, providing opportunities for transformation.
As our friends Elizabeth Long and Bill Wallauer light our chalice this morning, you are invited to speak the words of the affirmation, our congregational covenant. To allow you to acknowledge the peace of these sacred words, please keep yourselves muted. And the words are also printed in your chat line. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve human need. For these high purposes do we unite in worship.
And I invite you to set your screen to gallery view so you can see all of those who are present And now, with an attitude of reverence and hospitality, I invite you to open your mic and offer a greeting of peace and welcome to those making up our congregation today. Peace be with you.
Peace, everybody.
All right, and the waving continues. And now, if you go ahead and change your view back up in the corner to speaker view, we share our joys and sorrows in a ritual of candle lighting in community. If you are so moved, I invite you to offer a joy or sorrow of a personal nature. We'll save our feelings about the government until our breakout rooms, and I will go ahead and light a candle for you. Type your name into the chat, so that we can identify those who would like to have a candle lit. And please offer just a phrase or two, being mindful of others. I'll go ahead and light our first candle. And it'll be a candle of sorrow for the more than 484,000 souls who have died as a result of COVID in the United States, and the well over 2 million who have died worldwide. May we light this candle.
So it looks like our first person today is Sarah S.
This morning, I would like a candle of sorrow lit, please, for Tracy Ann Hurd, my sister's niece, who will be aged 47, who will be removed from life support this afternoon after a heart condition on Friday. Blessings on your journey, Tracy.
We light this candle.
Pat?
This is just a joy that I have my partner here for 35 years, and we've had quite the journey, and it's been all over the place, and we're happy.
We light this candle.
Teresa. Teresa,
I have a joy that I had my second COVID vaccination yesterday, and it was quite the UU reunion in the 15-minute waiting afterward, including Rachel was our EMT, moonlighting as an EMT, and Marcia and Dennis and Nancy F. and Tekla. So it's the most UUs I've seen in one room in almost a year.
We light this candle.
Lisa M.
Good morning, everyone. This is a candle of love for all children and youth continuing to struggle with the uncertainty, fear, and loneliness of living through a pandemic and tenuous educational institutions. I'm proud of these kids.
We light this candle.
Susie and Robert.
Hi, we're on Tuesday, we celebrate our 29th anniversary. And we got married 2 days after Valentine's Day, so we can remember that it's coming, have our plenty reminders, and get discount flowers and chocolates.
We light this candle.
Terry R.
Hi, everyone. Happy Valentine's Day.
I want to light a candle for joy because I got my first shot, and I just wanted to tell people I'm only 61, but they have Saturday clinics in Ignacio at the middle school that anybody can sign up for, and they just need warm bodies. So that might be a good place for you to go. Thanks.
We light this candle.
Wilder.
Joy of new snow.
Yeah. We light this candle.
Dee Dee?
I have a joy that my very close friend Laura has a wonderful art exhibit that we just went up in the Smiley Building, and it'll be there through the month. It's well worth a view. They did a really good job hanging them too.
We light this candle.
Jared.
It's further.
Yeah, I like to light a candle for the joy, for the power and beauty of love.
We light this candle.
Judy H. Judy, you want to unmute yourself, please? Judy H.
Okay, sorry about that. I thought I had.
Okay.
My very good friend on the East Coast has had very serious spinal surgery, and it was very difficult, and has just been readmitted to the hospital for the third time. Please send her thoughts and prayers. She's very ill.
We light this candle.
Julie A.
Hi, I have a grave concern that non-native people will be traveling to Ignacio to take injections of the COVID vaccine from the native people who live in Ignacio at the heart of the Southern Ute Indian tribe, that they will be doing vaccine tourism there. I hope that this does not occur.
We light this candle.
I don't see anyone else on my chat line this morning. If anyone else has a concern or a joy, want to put your name in? Okay, thank you, everyone.
We'll light one final candle to symbolize all of those silent cares, silent joys and sorrows, sometimes too vulnerable to share aloud. We'll hold all of these thoughts and concerns with us on this day and as we go about our week. The prayer today, this morning, comes from the Reverend Marjorie Bowens Wheatley, Black leader in many innovative Unitarian Universalist programs. I met Marjorie when I took extension ministry training in 1996. Sadly, she died young from cancer at age 57. Marjorie wrote this litany of restoration for the opening ceremony and the first anniversary of the Church of the Restoration, UU, in Tulsa. The words are in our gray hymnal. This morning, after I read the words, I invite you to open your microphone and respond with the litany response, "It will not matter." So I invite you now to open your microphones. If recognizing the interdependence of all life, we strive to build community, the strength we gather will be our salvation. If you are Black and I am white, it will not matter. If you are female and I am male, it will not matter. If you are older and I am younger, It will not. If you are straight and I am gay,
it will not matter.
If you are Christian and I am Jewish,
it will not matter.
And I'll mute everyone and continue. If we join spirits truly as siblings, the pain of our aloneness will be lessened, and that does matter. In this spirit, we build community and move toward restoration. Now I invite you into a time of reflection. Of introspection, of meditation, of prayer. God of many names and none at all, help me imagine a more beloved community, not necessarily easy, but reparative. Restorative, welcoming, kind, and tolerant of difference. Let the pain of aloneness diminish. May love abide and peace prevail. After I ring the Tibetan bowl, let us hold silence for a moment. Blessed be. Amen. Amen. Ashe.
Thank you.
Beautiful Marilyn. Thank you so much for that lovely rendition. First, I'd like you kids to please close your eyes for a minute. I'm not going to because I'm reading my story, but I'll close one. And in your mind, behind those closed eyes, remember a time when you threw a pebble into a stream or into a lake, or even when you threw a toy into your nice warm bathtub. What happens? Yes, it makes ripples in circles radiating out from that single pebble. Now, go ahead and open your eyes. It's Valentine's Day, and we're going to talk about love. It's easy to think about the people that we love, our parents, our grandparents, our friends, our pets. What if we wanted to grow that love? We might think of it as the same as what happens when you throw that pebble into a pond. It makes circles rippling outward, bigger and bigger. We can grow love beyond boundaries, like ripples. Now, what would those ripples be? I invite you kids to unmute if you'd like to. We'll start with the smallest heart, the heart that is closest to us. Who might that be? Anyone can say?
Ourselves.
Your parents.
Your parents. Let's start with that. Very good. And then our hearts ripple out even further. Who might that be?
My dog.
Dogs. Who else?
Friends.
Friends, cousins. All right, then we get a ripples out a little bigger. Who might that be? How about school?
Church.
Yeah.
Your crush.
Yes. Even better. And it gets a little bit bigger. And I'll talk louder. Who might that be?
Everyone.
Sorry?
Food.
That's so big. I bet it could be anyone.
Could be anyone. And then our final giant heart ripple. That could be
iPad.
That could be our whole world, our town or our city. When we think of love without boundaries for the people we don't know really well and for the people that are different from us, this idea of loving all people and all beings, not just the ones close to us, but rippling all the way out, is what we call beloved community. Now, I'll see you all over in Faith Formation. Just click the link in the chat box, and I'll see you there in a minute.
Patrice Curtis has served Unitarian Universalism as minister in Clearwater, Florida, for a number of years, and now works for the UUA as the Transformational Interim Ministries Director.
Hello, I am the Reverend Patrice Curtis. Thank you for joining me. I want to share with you a Buddhist-inspired practice, the practice of presence. And I offer it now because this week we are exploring reparations and repair and restoration of the relationships between communities of Black, Indigenous, and peoples of color and the Euro-dominant system that has proven to be and still is so harmful. Many of us are committed to repairing these relationships, and yet we might still find ourselves struggling with what we need to do as individuals to change systems. In Buddhism, dosa is interpreted in English as repulsion or aversion or even hatred. And it refers to those circumstances or situations in which we are uncomfortable, that we find unpleasant, to people that we find unpleasant, even to feelings within ourselves that we find unpleasant. Verse 5, the Dhammapada, which is a book of Buddhist teachings, says this: for hatred does not cease by hatred at any time. Hatred ceases by love. This is an unalterable law. Whether you are the person offering repair or the person who is asked to accept, an open heart is needed for both. Whether you are the person offering restorations and reparations, or the person who is asked to accept, it may feel deeply uncomfortable. You may find feelings of wanting to avert your eyes or avert your attention and to walk away. When you feel your heart clenching in the face of hard stories, hard conversations, I offer you two anchors to let love continue to work within you. Now, the best anchor is one that is easy to remember, that is familiar, and that you can carry with you always. The first anchor I offer is breath. I invite you right now to notice your breath. Thank you. Now, you may have noticed that I didn't ask you to do anything special. I didn't ask you to sit in a particular way, to hold your posture in a particular way, to do anything special with your hands. That is because when we find ourselves in a hard conversation, we may not have the opportunity to sit formally or to place our hands in a formal position or to close our eyes. The anchor of our breath can bring us back to our center, back to not turning away, back to being open to what is, open to hard stories, open to hard conversations. A breath is an anchor that brings us back to center. The second anchor that I want to share with you comes from our teal hymnal, and it is the meditation on loving kindness. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be whole. And it goes on to say, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be peaceful and at ease and whole. And finally, may we be filled with loving kindness. May we be peaceful and at ease. May we be whole. A hymn like this invites singing, invites chanting, and its deep simplicity provides for us a deep centering and anchoring. We can remember these words and take them with us. We can remember that within them is the theology of radical inclusion. It is the remembrance that separation of one from the other, of me separated from you, is a delusion, as the Buddha called it. Perhaps this hymn works for you, meditation on loving kindness, or perhaps you have another that sings to you, that anchors you. A hymn anchors us in the spirituality of our community. And in these times of being on Zoom, a hymn reminds us that one day we will be physically all together. But in the meantime, we are never separate. Anchors will help you stay present as an active participant in conversations of reparations and restorations, and will help you embody the actions needed to move us, to help us as a collective move toward beloved community. We can do this. We cannot create systems built alone. Though you may travel through guilt and anger and other unpleasant feelings, know that you are not on that journey alone, that we are with you, that we are with each other, that I am with you. For hatred does not cease by hatred at any time. Hatred ceases by love. This is an unalterable law. Thank you. Namaste.
Thirty Days of Love is the name of the program of the UUA's advocacy efforts, Side with Love. You know, the yellow shirts that we wear around town, or we used to, and we will again. This year, each week since MLK Day, Side with Love has suggested a different focus. Week one was living our values in the world, two, hospitality and inclusion, three, educating for liberation, and finally, this final week, emphasizing restoration and repair. There are many avenues towards restoring and repair. Example, we've been working carefully for a while now at UUFD to construct a healthy congregations committee. And much of what we are beginning to learn is that repair work will always be needed in communities that strive to live our values, create hospitality and inclusion, and who are educating for liberation. Healthy change work always brings up the rough edges between and around us. And while we're communicating primarily through a screen with little boxes, we may not be catching all the subtle cues we receive if we were with each other in 3D. We will offer training and covenanting. At our minister's circle that occurred here last Thursday, I shared a viral video of the Handford Parish Council, a little English town. If you've seen that video going around, you'll likely know that an outside consultant, Jackie Weaver, she's famous now, was invited in because some of the previous bad behavior, as the group named it. As the council got ready to meet together online for their council, their regular council meeting, I think it was a special meeting, some of the council members began with angry frustration. Who's in charge? You don't have the authority to lead. Jackie Weaver's style, calm, centered, limit setting for group behavior, was surprising to some of the counselors. The internet world has made Jackie Weaver the new feminist hero, and she's been invited on all of the British talk shows. Repair work can be done in larger organizations too. In 2007, a truth, repair, and reconciliation resolution was passed at the UU General Assembly, and it mandated that the association, as well as its constituent congregations, review its history to find instances of oppression. Bill Sinkford was our UUA president, and his annual report had called for racial reconciliation. He said, should we collectively acknowledge that some of the beautiful white clappered Unitarian churches in New England were built with profits from the slave trade? Sinkford also recalled that $1 million was committed at the 1968 General Assembly to be put toward Black economic development. And only part of that money was ever distributed. Bill Sinkford went on, doesn't our moral balance sheet still carry an unpaid debt? Well, the initial findings were presented at a GA workshop in which the history of the UUA and its predecessor organizations were reported. Various congregations presented the work they did in their own congregations, some of them making discoveries of connections to slavery and land acquisition. My longtime, recently deceased friend has a wonderful story. UU Minister David Petit came from seven generations of Unitarians. He'd always been interested in studying and learning more about genealogy. As he did, he began to learn about his own family's connection to slavery, and he wrote about his discovery, sharing it there with the Boston NPR station and with our UU magazine, UU World. He said, the decision to contact an 87-year-old woman out of the blue with a fateful story involving slavery is no trivial matter. In imagining how I might approach her, I spoke with Amy Potter of the Center for Justice and Peacemaking at Eastern Mennonite University in Harrisonburg, Virginia. She was an organizer of their Coming to the Table project, which in the year 2006 successfully gathered together the descendants of former slaves and slaveholders for dialogue. She assured me that in her experience, when whites were willing to reach out to Blacks to acknowledge a familial history involving slavery and slaveholding, the response was usually warm and appreciative. And what does building a new relationship based on historic wrongs accomplish? Well, David thought hard before responding. He said, I think if all people are able to claim the full dimension of their histories, the good and the bad, this would allow for conversations that wouldn't have taken place otherwise. To me, it's about humbly joining in the struggles with those who have been the subject of historical and systemic oppression, and no longer denying that we come from places and structures that have been historically complex and oppressive. UU Allies for Racial Equity had helped assure that that General Assembly resolution was passed. ARE, the acronym for that group, is an organization of UUs who identify as white and who are committed to anti-racism in accountable relationship with the UU communities of color. The group showed the documentary Traces of the Trade. It's a story of filmmaker Katrina Brown's discovery that she was descended from the largest slave trading family in US history. I've been a member of Allies for Racial Equity since those days, and you can join too. Just Google that organization and it'll show you how you can become a member. And recently, that connection has inspired me into some of the energy created by our Healing Racism team that has encouraged the local creation and involvement in our new chapter of SURGE. It's the acronym for Showing Up for Racial Justice. That is a group of people who identify as white, who are committed to interrupting white supremacy culture and calling people into accountability. The work is inherently repair work, aiming to undo hundreds of years of harm. In his seminal book, Black Pioneers in a White Denomination, the Reverend Mark Morrison Reed, himself one of those Black pioneers, reveals the attitudes of elitism, paternalism, and racism that kept innovative emergent ministries and Black ministers squashed. Traditional ministries for BIPOC ministers, meaning positions where the congregations voted to call a person of color, were mostly out of the question until recent years. And now work is being done in congregations to be more welcoming, and structures are in place now to support ministers of color. As a beloved part of my library, I have one of the old hymnals sitting right back here, used in the days long before the merger of Unitarian and Universalism. In this burgundy volume are songs with now outdated gendered theistic language, yet I find some of it in their beautiful theology. There are full services complete with prayers of confession, something we don't often hear now. I want to share with you one of those prayers. Before the wonders of life, we acknowledge our failures to see and revere. Before the sanctities of life, we are ashamed of our disrespects and indignities. Before the gifts of life, we own that we have made choice of lesser goods, and here today seek the gifts of the Spirit. Before the heroisms of life, we would be enlarged to new devotion. What does this do for us to recite these prayers aloud? Whether we are speaking in old-fashioned formal language, before the sanctities of life, we are ashamed of our disrespects and indignities. Or whether we are breathing and chanting, led by a traditional Buddhist meditation. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. I believe that regardless of the way we choose, that it moves us into an attitude of lowering our resistance to change. It reminds us that siding with love is spiritual work, not just political or not just social justice. It reminds us that building the beloved community is not a saccharine slogan, but is grand lifelong action and attitudes. We can work on repair at home with a thoughtful apology, or in the congregation, beginning with a healing conversation, in our local community with acknowledgement of harm done, making efforts for repair, in our faith community by showing up and engaging in our association's efforts at institutional change, maybe beginning by reading together as a congregation, widening the circle of concern. Here's what that publication looks like if you order it from the bookstore. It is bound as a book, but you can also click on the link that is being put in the chat, and you can simply read it online. We can elect local candidates who support racial justice, lobby Congress to support actions on reparations. We can act together. Valentine's Day may lead with flowers, hearts, and candy, because each of us has some sort of reparation to begin. So until we are together once again, know that I love you. Amen. Amen. Ashe. Blessed be.
Thank you, Marilyn, for that lovely, lovely music. As we begin our offering this morning, there are three ways you can donate, as you can see in the chat line. You can mail a check to the church. On our website, you can click on the donate button, or you can send a text message, which is a very easy way, and that is also in the chat line. Sometimes I come on Sunday feeling weary from the stress on friends and family, on neighbors and our beloved community members. Sometimes I come on Sunday feeling frightened, having seared my eyes reading the latest news. But I leave Sunday service feeling refreshed, having been renewed by the spirit of love in the community that exists here. I leave this service feeling whole, feeling lifted up by the words, sometimes of righteous challenge. I leave this service feeling energized, ready to continue for peace and justice. This haven, this refuge, this beloved community, this place of worship and wonder exists because we make it so. With our contributions, the gifts of our time, our skills, our love, our laughter, and our dollars. Please join in the gift of giving so that we may continue to have a place that fortifies us, that challenges us in these trying and troubled times. Your gifts are gratefully received. Thank you.
In 1972, Hal Hobson wrote the song, The Gift of Love, which in our UU hymnal is called by its first line, "Though I may speak with bravest fire." It is a poetic interpretation of 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love passage from Paul's epistle. The tune is best known as the folk song, The Water is Wide, which is a love song of a different sort. Please join the Sykes family as they lead us in singing this song of love.
And are free.
We will extinguish our chalice and we'll, let's see, invite, there we are, invite the Long and Wallauer family to extinguish their chalice, and I will do the same. And before, you might have seen a little boo-boo. If I'm trying to set up some special rooms today for a group of folks who've already determined that they will be Val pals, some intergenerational groups. The rest of us will go to regular breakout rooms, but it might take me just a couple minutes longer to get these all set up so we get the right people in the right rooms. So, but we have some beautiful music to send us out as well. The words of blessing, of benediction, come from the first African-American leader of a primarily white denomination elected in 2007 to the Unitarian Universalist Association, the Reverend Bill Sinkford. There is so much work to do. We have only begun to imagine justice and mercy. Help us hold fast to our vision of what can be. May we see the hope in our history to work for that constant rebirth of freedom and justice. That is our dream. May it be so. Amen. And Elizabeth and Bill, go ahead and extinguish your chalice. Thanks, everybody.
Take a while for it to use up all the oxygen.